Welcome back to The Takeaway. It's Todd Zwillick with you today. Well, it's no surprise that online behavior is tracked. If you like Washington politics, you're going to get political stories in your newsfeed. Bought cat litter lately? Surprise, cat food ad. But imagine if your search history could help pre-diagnose cancer or depression and send you information on how to get help. Researchers at Microsoft revealed this week that by analyzing search queries, they were able to identify internet users who were suffering from pancreatic cancer even before those people were diagnosed. The news brings both excitement and a lot of questions about what this means for the future of medicine and for ethics. Joining me now are Dr. Eric Horvitz. He's scientist and managing co-director at Microsoft Research and co-author of the study. Also, Dr. Kelly Harding. She's a psychiatrist from Columbia University Medical Center, and she researches health anxiety in the digital age. Welcome to you both.
Great. Nice to be here. Thanks.
Yes. Thank you so much for having us.
Eric Horvitz, let me start with you. First of all, the practical. What do people who have pancreatic cancer but don't know it search for online?
Well, I hate to raise anxieties out there by talking about common symptoms. But one of the challenges is that these symptoms often present as nonspecific. And I've had several friends and colleagues that have gone through this, this generalized itchiness and some strange gnawing back pain of various kinds, light-colored stools and so on. Each one of these symptoms taken separately typically wouldn't be a reason to run to a physician or be too concerned. But what we were looking for were complicated temporal patterns or fingerprints that might not even be known by clinical medicine yet that we can see over thousands of people and millions of people.
And the aggregation of these symptoms all together instead of separately that might lead to somebody who might be sick. Well, Kelly Harding, let me go to you because you're a psychiatrist, and now studies have already shown that online search can identify or at least signal depression better than a lot of diagnostic tools that are available. So what's your take on the promise of this?
Sure. Well, I think when the study first broke, there was a lot of questions about, is my computer keeping secrets from me? And who is it maybe sharing my deepest, darkest fears with? But I think the thing to keep in mind is there's actually a potential for tremendous public good. And, we're entering a new age where we're now looking at pre-screening, not just screening for diagnosis. And studies like this are really emphasizing that. There have been studies already done that show that there can be a lead time in terms of identifying flu outbreaks, sometimes up to 5 weeks in advance, which is tremendous. Symptoms of depression, there's evidence that people will tell their computer things before they'll tell another person because, a lot of times it's embarrassing and frankly, search engines aren't judgmental.
Now, Eric Horvitz, Kelly Harding has brought some of the ethical concerns already into view here, and I want to go there because what the part of the question is what you do with all this info. Right away, you can see the problems. Not only looking at somebody's searches, but analyzing them, and then potentially breaching their medical privacy by looking at their searches and knowing what they might have, and then talking to them about it.
Yeah, I have to say that I'm as interested as you and others about the interesting challenges that come up with data, privacy, and thinking about the greater good. At a place like Microsoft Research and Microsoft Corporation, we abide by very strict guidelines in terms of aggregate data, anonymization, privacy. This kind of study goes through our ethics advisory process as well. But in the long term, there is this idea that online data might one day be used to jump the tracks between non-medical and medical. And this is an area of discussion, and we've written on this ourselves, a piece in Science magazine just last August you can read about.
Okay. The ethical considerations, of course, are replete throughout online search, right? This isn't just about medicine. We could talk about national security and analyzing search and maybe if somebody has a predilection to violence or jihadism. And, there are all kinds of implications here. But Eric Horvitz, not just analyzing the data, which is big data, I think we all understand what that means if it's anonymous. What about going back to the user and saying, hey, Bill, we've been looking at your searches. Have you thought about pancreatic cancer?
It's interesting. When we have this kind of a result, which was just a feasibility study, to ask the question, is this even possible? And the answer was yes, we found. The next step is, well, how would you actually field it? How would you use this? And this is a question we ask ourselves and we want to reflect about with our with our clinical colleagues and with consumers. You can imagine one day, for example, there's an opt-in service that people say, I'd like to actually have my search logs look very in a very private manner for me in the service of my health. Here's what you can do with them. You could also imagine various ways of making sure that consumers get a sense for possibilities, not to frighten people, but to say, hey, you might want to mention these three symptoms to your doctor that you've been looking at lately.
Kelly Harding, talk about the ethics from your point of view. You treat depression all the time. You're a psychiatrist. Now, you mentioned identifying flu epidemics. That's an epidemiologic problem. You can identify an area of the country where people are searching symptoms and say, whoa, epidemic. That's not an individual. We're talking about individuals with illnesses that may be extremely private.
So it's true. And I think when you're sitting in front of a computer, it feels like a very private experience. And it's shocking for some people that it might be more public than that. It does seem as though it's going to take a lot of thinking about how to go forward working with the technology companies, how to get the person from the computer to the clinic and do that in a way that they don't feel overly petrified by getting a message, hey, you may have pancreatic cancer. That would, you know, probably hold someone in their tracks.
But as somebody who sort of lives and works at the intersection between mental health and digital use, this strikes you as great promise or ethically fraught or really both, and we're going to find our way through it.
Well, I think, you know, the reality is that the technology is here and we have to figure out a way to move forward using it for the greater good. And I think as long as we have people that are doing it consciously and in a way that's careful about patients' privacies and respecting rights in that sense, that I think there's a way forward. But it is going to take a lot of people between public health, technology, physicians thinking about how to, and also patients, how to put this all together.
And Eric Horowitz at Microsoft, do you think that the field is prepared for that deep and nuanced ethical discussion?
Oh, I think it's quite prepared, and it's one that is engaging to many interested folks, including our teams. I should say that there are some prospects that technology can give us win-wins here. For example, training up these detectors or sensors that work on with anonymized data, and then fielding local apps in people's phones that work only in their own in the privacy of their own devices, where no personal data is shared at all. Yet people have the access to the intelligence which was trained off the large scale data.
We are reaching a point where your online searches can tell someone somewhere else about what diseases you could have or what your aggregate symptoms might mean. Great promise and also ethical issues for the future of medicine. Kelly Harding, psychiatrist at Columbia. Dr. Eric Horowitz, distinguished scientist and managing director at Microsoft Research. Thank you both.
Thank you.